That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family podcast. And over the past few weeks, ever since Cam Ward was drafted number one overall by my Titans, you hear a lot of stories, and people are trying to make him out to be this or that. And he may be one day the face of the franchise for the Titans. And right now he shouldn't be because he's a rookie, but he's becoming that because he's a number one overall pick. Nothing he could do about that. That's just the way things are. And he seems to be a kid that can handle those situations and be respectful and being a person where people look at and say, that's the type of man I want to be, or that's the type of man I'm glad leading my team. Skillful and very respectful and just a good overall person. That being said, being a leader on the field involves not only respectability, hard nose, just being that person that people rely upon, but it's also something to do with numbers. And when men are drafted number one overall to lead a team and face it, quarterbacks, and we did something a couple of 3 weeks ago about this, when quarterbacks are drafted number one overall, it's usually not just a throwaway pick. They're like, well, I could just have a number one overall pick and just pick the quarterback. Teams don't typically do that. They typically get a number one overall pick for a reason. You know, there's been a few times where they traded up and just so happened, like the Bears, just so happened to get the number one overall pick. But when you think about the teams like the Titans, there's a reason why they were number one overall. When you think about some of the other teams that received the number one overall pick that they used the quarterback for, there's a reason for that. And if a young man coming out of college goes into a situation where they're drafted number one overall and the team needed it, he's going to have to be careful about some things. Number one, its offensive line is going to be probably a little shady. Titans are in that situation now. I think they're getting better, but Will Levis ran. Ryan Tannehill ran. Cam Ward probably is going to have to run. You're also looking at there's a reason why their defense may be struggling. A quarterback can only put up so many numbers, and to think that your defense has to stop something. So when I was thinking about this particular topic, how much expectations does one team like Titans have on their number one overall pick quarterback? Started thinking that there have been several number one overall picks who have been quarterback in the last 30 or 40 years. Several. And we, like I said, one of my latest episodes, we did that and we looked at them. But I wanted to see what type of expectation you should have on somebody like a Cam Ward. Obviously, his skill is part of that. The offensive line and the offensive weapons are part of that. Maybe running back would be part of that. And whether the defense can give him the ball back quickly is part of that. What type of learning curve do you think that a person would have? All those things come into play, so you can't compare apples to oranges. However, you can kind of get a baseline. And on CBSSports.com, they have the top 24, according to their view, of quarterbacks going over number one overall who, when drafted, their first year, their rookie year, how they did stat-wise. Now, here's the thing. Each one of these teams were in a sorry position the year before that, and maybe plenty of years before that, which led to the situation they were in. That quarterback was put in a situation where he was, they basically said swim. They threw him in to swim. He may not have played the entire year. And if he did play the entire year, his ability to read defenses and his ability to make the proper throws or not to throw into double or triple coverage or to throw the ball away all plays into what you're about to see. Now, I'm not going to read them all, but I want to kind of give you this idea that we put way too much expectations on a rookie quarterback. It's like Bryce Young. He did okay last year. His rookie year, not so much. But one of those things that when I look at Cam Ward, I'm given hope, but I also have to have a realistic view of things. Like they're number 24th overall in terms of stats, in terms of work, is Alex Smith. Now you remember when he was drafted, many people thought that Aaron Rodgers would go over number one overall, and Aaron Rodgers probably should have. Alex Smith came in to a situation where he grew, and I think he actually did a whole lot better when he played for the Chiefs because I think that's how Andy Reid works. But I want you to listen to this. Now, he didn't play the whole year. He played nine games, seven starts, according to CBSSports.com. 50% completion percentage, 875 yards, one passing touchdown, and 11 interceptions. What do you think people's expectations the next year was? And that's the thing about expectations that we have upon quarterbacks. They may improve, but does the team improve around them? You think, well, a quarterback will lift up a team to improve everybody. Yes, he can do that. But if you're passing 50% to the same people the next year, maybe your passes get closer to their hands. Maybe you're throwing over the defense more. Maybe you're trusting the checkdowns more. Maybe you're going to the running back out of the corner more. Maybe you're throwing the ball away more, just to save a sack. Maybe you're doing these things, but if you cannot improve the receivers or the tight end, does that mean that your quarterback can lift up everybody? Now, eventually we see what the 49ers did. The 49ers did okay. But here's the thing about Alex Smith. He's not an oddity. I mean, you go down this list. You go down the list of things where, like Eli Manning in 2004, this is actually kind of an interesting number. This guy would eventually win two Super Bowls. He is Tom Brady's kryptonite. And he did all right. Would he make it to the Hall of Fame? Probably because of his last name and probably because of his stats too. He did okay. But his rookie year, and you remember his big problem, his big thing was he didn't want to play for the Chargers. And he was drafted by the Chargers. But he did end up going to the Giants, winning the two Super Bowls. Listen to this. 48.2 completion percentage, 1,043 yards, six passing touchdowns, nine interceptions. Eventually, he became a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Giants all-time leader in passing yards, passing touchdowns. Both of those are 10th overall in NFL history. He did okay. He did okay, but what happens? What happens if you judge that situation? If you judge that situation, his rookie year, as a positive or negative, and say, well, he is not going to change those things, what will happen? And that's the big thing about a guy on this list. That I think everybody here is very aware of, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning turned out to probably be, in my estimation, number two or number three overall quarterback of all time. And it's hard to compare the before the merger and after the merger because of just the different quarterback styles. And even after the merger, more people view interceptions as not that big of a deal as they do now. I think Johnny Unitas is number one just because of his the way that he played and the way that he changed the game in a lot of ways. But if you say Tom Brady's number one, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, pre-merger, pro pat after merger, it's hard to explain. Peyton Manning, though, on this is if you don't have Johnny Unitas as number one, Peyton Manning's number two. He is that good. He is the one that held so many records until Tom Brady broke it. And Tom Brady broke it because of longevity and being good. But his rookie year, this is the fun part about him playing. He came up to a team, the Colts, that were awful. And drafted number one overall. He came out of University of Tennessee. I remember him playing there. That's all you hear around here is Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Nothing wrong with that. He came up with a 56.7 completion percentage, 3,739 yards, 26 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. Played all 16 games, started it all. They basically threw him in the deep end and say, you need to swim. Why is that such a big thing? Because over time, Peyton became such a big, big part of that the Colts team. Everybody saw Peyton. And when Egrin James and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, when they started taking off, eventually they would win a Super Bowl with there. And of course, when he was let go from the Colts, he went to the Broncos and won a Super Bowl. This is how it's hard to judge a player from his rookie year to later on. Peyton had potential, but when you have 28 interceptions your rookie year, that could break a person. You think about Derek Carr. When Derek Carr played football, and when he was playing, the thing about him, I said, should say David Carr, I apologize. When David Carr was drafted number one overall by the Texans, they had so much expectation to him, so many things that people would look at and say, man, this guy's got it all. And he got beat up his fresh or his rookie year. Now he won a Super Bowl with the Giants. But the expectation they put on him was so high, and the offensive line was so bad that David could not reach the potential where most people thought he would go. His rookie year messed him up. So here's the thing, and you can look at all these other things, the CBS Sports, they had Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a pretty decent year. He played 10 games, and he was overall. One of my favorite stats that I'm looking at here is Andrew Luck was pretty rough his rookie year. Kyler Murray was actually pretty good his rookie year. One of my favorite stats, and I didn't realize this until I read it here. Let's see if I can find it on this, is John Elway. John Elway is probably my all-time favorite quarterback. He played in a different year, a different world. And his rookie year was marred by the fact that he didn't want to play in Baltimore. Well, Baltimore drafted him. The same GM that drafted Eli Manning drafted John Elway. But when you think about it, he goes over to the Broncos. He does win two Super Bowls with them. But it took several years to get to that point. His rookie year, he had a 47.5 completion percentage with 7 passing touchdowns and 14 interceptions. And I know from reading and talking to people that with this much drama that came about during his time not wanting to go, Stanford number one overall pick. He didn't want to go to the Colts, and they had to work some things out. How, with as much drama as happened with him, when people saw these numbers, they're like, what was the point? Of course, he ended up doing pretty well. Pretty well. He won a Super Bowl MVP. He won an MVP. He won. He was part of all decades team in 1990. His years playing for the Broncos, if you looked at it in the first season, what would you think? So here's the thing. Here's what I want to end today. How would you judge Cam Ward's rookie year? How would you judge it if he wins six games out of 16 that he plays? If he throws 10 touchdowns to 20 interceptions, is his career over? I mean, they were thinking that with Bryce Young, and who knows what's going to happen there. Justin Fields, he wasn't overall number one overall pick, but we look at that. Josh Rosen, who wasn't overall number one overall pick, but his career was pretty bad because of his attitude. But you kind of go on down the line, and you think, well, how can this particular player do great if his first year is that bad? I mean, how do you judge somebody drafted 199 overall and turns out to be probably the GOAT? I don't know. I think this is an interesting question, but the big thing is, can a fan base have enough patience in their rookie quarterback to see what happens? And will the coaching staff and the GM give him enough weapons around him to become the quarterback that they think that he can be? Well, thank you all for listening to the Football's Family podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.